This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. Jewish communities and others around the world continue to mourn the 11 people killed in a mass shooting over the weekend at a synagogue in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
The shooting and subsequent arrest of Robert Bowers came a day after a Florida man who posted hate-filled comments online was charged with mailing pipe bombs to prominent Democrats around the country.
Ilana Khan of the Jewish Community Relations Council in Milwaukee talked about the shooting with WUWM's Mayon Silver. Speaking on Sunday, Khan said, unfortunately, it didn't surprise her.
It was very clear to me that this really is the confluence of three things, and it's inevitable. It's inevitable. It's the confluence of anti-Semitism, which is always present. You know, it's called the oldest hatred, and it is always present. With the moment we're at and the sort of unmasking of bigotry and the unleashing of violent language, we have elected officials who use mean and nasty and violent rhetoric, and action comes from language. So that is a piece of it. And I think also there's easy access to guns. You know, this is the era of the mass shooting. Actually, I had to remind myself that this is horrific. I had to remind myself that this is about people, because this just seems inevitable.
So your organization is monitoring hate crimes and threats, and the Anti-Defamation League reported that there was a 60% increase of anti-Semitism nationally in 2017, and that there were just under 2,000 incidents in 2017. Are you monitoring this in Milwaukee or in the local area, and what are you finding?
So part of what the Jewish Community Relations Council does on an ongoing basis is that we monitor and respond to anti-Semitic incidents. So I am constantly on the ready, engaged. Sometimes it's public, sometimes it's not public. And we have been doing this for many years. Also, we share that data with Anti-Defamation League, with local law enforcement and local Jewish community organizations and other national organizations, so that we get a picture of what life is like for Jews here, so that our law enforcement partners understand what it's like for Jews, and so that the national organizations have the parallel statistics and they use it for their national. So we have found the same thing, absolutely. We, at the end of the year, compile it. So in the beginning, so in January, we'll have the statistics for 2018. And we saw more than 200% rise. So incidents have more than doubled between 2015 and 2017. And it looks like we're on, just from eyeballing the numbers and the incidents, we look like we're pretty steady with last year. But the incidents have changed. I would say that the tenor of the incidents have changed. Whereas most of the incidents used to be swastikas spray painted or, you know, scratched into bathroom walls. We still have those, but we have many more incidents that include language like what yesterday's shooter said, all Jews must die. We have many more things like that that are just sort of bold, you know, unhooded language.
How often does a threat turn into an attack in these days?
It's hard to say. We do know that often the most brutal attacks, like what happened yesterday, had very little warning, had very little. He didn't call in before he did it. So we have to be vigilant.
Well, he did. There were the postings on Hias. And so I was also going to ask you, what role does social media and the internet play in these kind of hate crimes that are happening these days?
Yes. So that's the trend that we, two trends that I can point to in anti-Semitic incidents are that many, many incidents happen with young people. Many. We have, I want to say a quarter, some high percentage of incidents happen in schools and with young people, which is something to note. You know, how do we educate our young people? And the second thing is that a very high percentage of incidents involve social media. Yes, he did post those things. So I think it raises all sorts of questions about how do we police social media, but how do we use it responsibly, and how do we respond to hate on social media? I think it raises all sorts of really complicated questions for us as a society.
Well, and one of the things that this particular Robert Bowers was motivated by was the conspiracy thought that a Jewish donor had contributed, or that Jews were contributing to the caravan coming through. And you mentioned politics and national politics a little bit, but what are you seeing in terms of how those types of conspiracy theories are being acted out?
Well, I mean, remember the days when we used to be able to disagree with each other on policy, and we used to have different ideas about how to get to the right, you know, to the same end. You know, we want this to be a safe country. Maybe we want it to be a welcoming country, but, you know, but we could have differing opinions, and we didn't resort to dog whistles. We didn't resort to maligning. I mean, there's always been hatefulness, but as a rule, elected officials didn't resort to maligning entire groups of people and othering people. So I think that there needs to be no possible loophole for white supremacists. There needs to be no space in our public discourse. We need to leave it way, way on the margins where it belongs for hatefulness and bigotry. And it has been permitted into the mainstream.
Would you say that President Trump's, for the Jewish community, would you say that his pointing to the fact that he has a Jewish son-in-law and his daughter converted to Judaism, do you think that that consoles the Jewish community at all about what's happening in this administration?
Well, I can say this. I think it is possible and it's honorable to have different opinions about immigration, about guns, etc. So this is not partisan to say that. I think that we have to stick with rejecting violent language and holding our elected officials accountable for their violent language. And it doesn't matter who they're related to. You know, I also think, and I think that there's strong consensus in the Jewish community, that we don't want to live in a fortress, and that it's not a solution for anything. And we've made decisions in our community about sort of if there's a spectrum, a security spectrum, and on one end is unfettered access all the time everywhere, and on the other end is everybody has guns and we live, you know, in jail essentially, or in a fortress where, you know, nobody can get in anywhere and everybody walks around with guns. And yet, by the way, when there are more guns in places, there are more gun accidents and more gun incidents in places. And that's part of the equation. So I think that we have seen that the Jewish community has moved along that continuum based on the percepted needs of the moment, but has absolutely not resorted to having armed guards everywhere, absolutely doesn't want that. And I think that the personality, who the president is related to, is irrelevant. We're talking about the effects of language, the effects of name calling. You know, I multiple times before the attack in Pittsburgh and since, for me, I come back to, you know, everything comes down to the human level. Like, and I believe that every policy decision, every act between nations, within and between nations, does come down to human beings. And I do think that people are moved by their emotions. I do. And I think about how I teach my children to behave and the values that I teach that I want my children to hold on to as they move through the world. And the truth is that I expect the same things of my community. I expect my community to also be honorable and to be honest and to be kind and to be compassionate and to learn how to disagree without being hateful. And you know what? You can disagree loudly. Like, that's fine too. But we have to decide who we are as a people. And I think that this notion of, you know, of name calling and of finger pointing and of, you know, wink, wink to the white supremacists to give them language that seems to give them permission is really dangerous.
What actions is the local Jewish community taking in response to these events, and how will it be tackling the need to stay vigilant without becoming overly suspicious or isolated?
Well, that's a good question, because we're talking, there are individuals, and I think that people are, as expected, uneasy. Most of the synagogues released something last night, and they are working, I think, to assure people. And there's increased security, of course, right now. And there are constant security plans and constant security protocols. We work very closely on an ongoing basis with law enforcement. You know, as soon as we learned about the incident, our professionals in the community were in touch with local law enforcement in all levels, you know, federal to local municipalities. And so we trust them and work closely with them, and we'll, you know, continue to be vigilant, I think, on an individual level and institutions and on a community-wide level.
What is your advice to the broader community in terms of what they can do in response to threats and tragedies like this?
We reached out yesterday to Jewish community leaders in Pittsburgh to offer our support, and we'll know more if there's some way for us to be helpful. So I think that's something for the Jewish community, but also for the broader community. And I just want to say, I think of this sort of as layers of an onion, or, you know, different levels. Like in the one sense, if you get to the very narrowest, this happened to the people who were in that synagogue on that campus. And by the way, that campus houses three different synagogues. So there were three different services going on there. And it happened to the Jewish community in Pittsburgh, and it happened to the community, to Pittsburgh altogether, and it happened to the Jewish community nationally, and it happened worldwide. The first news I got about this, my first news alert, was from an Israeli newspaper, actually. So it happened to the Jewish community. We feel like it's ours also. And also it happened to the American community. Throughout the day yesterday, and throughout the day and the night and this morning, I have been there's been an outpouring of expressions of support, offers to help from friends and allies, faith leaders throughout the community. I have to say, it is very meaningful, and it changes how it feels. I heard from so many people. What can people do? Number one, to feel like it happened to them too, and to be there emotionally as though it happened to them too. So those calls and emails and texts and Facebook messages, et cetera, really mattered. And they changed my mind about it. They changed the framing, because each of them said, some people just said, "Know that I love you." And some people said, "These aren't our values," and they talked about us. So I think that taking it personally and understanding that this is an American, we're at a decision as Americans about what kind of community we want to live in. And it happened Saturday on Sabbath to a Jewish congregation, to the Jewish community. And 6 years ago, it happened to a Sikh community in Milwaukee. And I felt deeply then that it happened to us too, you know, not in the same sort of particular way, but that it was our tragedy too. So I think that feeling of knowing that it happened to all of us and responding as though it's yours, it's personal, is incredibly meaningful. I am currently chair of the Interfaith Conference, and I was very moved that without me, they drafted a statement. And they asked me if it was okay, but drafted a statement, released a statement, and were very vocal in denouncing this and expressing our shared commitment to the right values. It all comes back to, okay, I would put it this way, in a biblical way, that all people were created in the image of God, and inherent in that idea is that all people are equal, and all people are divine or are deserving to be treated as though they are divine. So if we actually believe that and walk around with that and hold on to that, then we make different decisions as human beings with our neighbors and as people who set policy. And I think we have to reject all of the fear and hold on to that.
Thank you so much, Ilana Khan.
Thank you so much.
Ilana Khan is director of the Jewish Community Relations Council in Milwaukee. She spoke with WUWM's Mayan Silver. You can find more coverage of the shooting at a Pittsburgh synagogue at WUWM.com.